Let's turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3, and we will be starting today in verse 13. Verse 13, where Solomon says, "How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding." How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man and the woman who gain understanding. Then for the next 13 verses, which we'll be covering tonight, Solomon goes on to ask a question that many Christians have asked over the years, and that is this: is being a Christian worth it? Is it worth it? Is being on God's side worth it? Is doing it His way something that at all benefits us on a temporal level? We know it benefits us on a spiritual level. But how about on the level of what we can see and feel? To which Solomon says, "How blessed is the man who finds wisdom." And we'll see how he fleshes this out in a very practical and encouraging way. We know from the New Testament that wisdom is ultimately Christ. In Colossians it says that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so from a New Testament perspective, Solomon is saying, how blessed is the man who finds and follows Christ. Is it worth it? Well, last time we saw how God disciplines us for our good, and how there is going to be a whole lot of pain in the narrow way. It's a way where we take up our cross daily and follow Him. Through many tribulations, Paul says, we must enter the kingdom of heaven. All of which is true. But you can't launch out with the truth in the Christian system without eventually encountering the counter-truth. All heresy is taking one side of the truth to another, to an unbiblical extreme. And our goal is to find balanced biblical Christianity, truth in tension. And here it is. While we must lose our lives as Christians, it's also an abundant life that Christ promises. While there are many burdens that we have got to bear as believers, as we follow after Christ, there are also such great blessings. And what we're going to see today is this. I don't know if you remember those pictures of planet Earth suspended, the good Earth in space, like this incredible gift, this incredible jewel of a planet. We call it the good Earth for good reason, because it's a storehouse of blessings. It's like this cornucopia, a horn of plenty that's full of so many good things. And it's the very picture we're going to see tonight of what wisdom can do for us, because we're going to see that it's by wisdom that the Lord founded the earth, just like Dave read in Proverbs chapter 8. It's by wisdom that He founded the earth. And just look at what He can do, and the same can happen to you if you live wisely too. That's the main point of the passage for tonight. If you follow the One who created this, and who gave us this abundance, this storehouse of blessings, He can do the same in our own lives. He's got a good plan for you that will have the same results as the plan that resulted in the good earth. That's Solomon's argument. And so I've got a word of hope for today. Yeah, we go through some dark seasons. There are storms and catastrophes and fires happening down there as that picture was being taken. Earthquakes, wind and fire, as they used to call it. You may be in one right now. But in the end, it'll be worth it all. As Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, He makes everything beautiful in its time. And He's doing the same with us. For the last couple months, we've been looking at some first principles, as you all know, from a man who can become our second father, none other than the wisest man who ever lived next to Christ. First principles. And there are 10 such principles in chapters 1 to 9, the 10 commandments of wisdom. And now we come to principle number 4, that there's such blessing in the doing of wisdom. There's such blessing in the doing. It won't be nearly as worth it if you're a couch potato Christian. But if you do what He says, you will be blessed. Just like Christ said in John 13:17, if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Same principle in the New Testament. Or Luke 11:27, while Jesus was saying these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you were nursed." But he said, "On the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." Back to Proverbs 3. There's such blessing in the doing. Principle number 4. There are two verses that kind of anchor our passage for today. They come exactly in the middle. And the passage hinges on these two verses. The first 6 verses we're going to see are the promise, the blessings of wisdom. That's verses 13 to 18. And then come the two verses that tell us the basis for that blessing, the precedent of it all, as we'll see, verses 19 and 20. And then 6 more verses on the promise again, the blessings of wisdom, verses 21 to 26. Our whole passage for today hinges on verses 19 and 20, which Solomon strategically positions exactly halfway through it. If you'll skip down there, where he says, "By wisdom the Lord founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps were broken up, and the skies drip with dew." That is, as we'll see, again, by wisdom the Lord founded the earth. And just look at it. Look at what he can do. And the same can happen to you. That's his argument in this passage. If you live wisely too. Just like Dave read in chapter 8. It goes through the whole creation. How wisdom was behind God's creating the universe and creating the earth. And how it works all together so well. His conclusion, therefore, blessed are those who find wisdom. You'll be blessed too. And it's the same argument that he uses here. We know that the world came into being through Christ. And so once again, in the New Testament language, the overall idea is this. He founded the earth through Christ. And just look at what he can do. And the same can happen to you if you live for Christ too. He's wooing us. Just like he did with the good earth, he'll give you a truly good life. He'll give you the good life. As the way he goes on to define it, as we'll see, if you actually do the kind of things that we've been talking about over the last few months. If you bind kindness and truth around your neck, as we saw back in 3 and 4. If you strive to trust the Lord with all your heart, as we saw in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. If you fear God and turn away from evil, as we saw in Proverbs 3, 7, and 8. If you honor the Lord with your wealth and from the first of all your produce, as we saw in verses 9 and 10. If you accept God's discipline, verses 11 and 12, rather than resisting and resenting it and even rebelling because of it. If you actually do these things, proving to be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves, there's such blessing in the doing. That's his point. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. That's the overview. And so let's jump back to the beginning after looking at the two verses that the passage hinges on, back to verse 13, where it all begins, back to the promise again, the promise of the good life. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Nothing you desire compares with her. Whatever it is, he's saying, that you might be after in this life, there's something much better. If you're a believer under it all, and over it all, and through it all, you've got wisdom incarnate. You've got Christ. And nothing you desire compares with him. How blessed is the man who finds and follows him. Because in him, there's hope and there's strength and there's solid ground under the sinking sands of a life where you might have to retire early or where all sorts of things happen to us. A life where you can't take anything with you. And we often take it for granted if we only knew what life would be like without him. And the further we go from our conversion, the more we often do take it for granted. What eternity would be life without him? It's just like we sang this morning in Sunday school. Whatever you're feeling, whatever you're seeing, they're saying about you, this is the truth. In Christ alone, my hope is found. Nothing you can desire compares to that. Whatever he may have taken from you, whatever he's taken from us as a church, whether Norm or people who used to attend or whatever it happens to be, he remains, and so all is well ultimately. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. I so love singing that this morning. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Nothing you desire compares to that. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Maybe you need to hear that tonight. This truth against the lies of the evil one. The truth against the appearance of what's going on around you. Your life may seem out of control. You may feel like you're at the mercy of forces that are totally beyond your control. But through it all, from life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands your destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand, from wisdom incarnate, who orders our lives in a way that is supremely beautiful. If we could just take a step back and see. It's a word of hope that Solomon offers tonight. Thanks to him, everything will be okay in the end. As they say, and so if it's not okay, it's not the end. And someday you'll see, if you don't already, that nothing you desire can compare to him. And someday we'll see that all the loss is nothing, less than nothing, compared to what you're gaining. So much there in that one verse. Maybe that's why Malcolm Muggeridge, the famous British journalist and apologist, said this. He said, "I may, I suppose, regard myself or pass for being a relatively successful man." He became a believer late in life. "People occasionally stare at me in the streets. That's fame, I guess. I earn enough to qualify for a high tax bracket. That's success. With money and a little fame, even the elderly, like me, can partake of trendy diversions. That's, I suppose, pleasure. Something I said or wrote may have been sufficiently heated for me to persuade myself that it represented a serious impact on our time. For a man like me, that's fulfillment. Yet I say to you, and I beg you to believe me, multiply these triumphs by a million. Add them all together, and they are nothing, less than nothing, a positive impediment measured against a single taste of the living water that Christ offers to the spiritually thirsty, irrespective of who they are or what they are." How quickly we forget our first love, like we talked about this morning in Sunday school. But nothing we desire can compare with him. And, moving on now in verse 16, long life is in her right hand. The next blessing. Long life. And he means this literally. We've already seen that doing it God's way may be harder for us, but in the end, it's ultimately easier on us, on our body, souls, and spirits. Right? Not only on your spirit and soul, but your body. We spent a whole message on this. The proof is all over the place. I didn't mention a book I have on my shelves published by Christian company Fleming Revel, None of These Diseases. The back cover says, "A physician testifies that health, happiness, and longer life can be yours if you follow the teachings of the Bible." Duh. Doctors McMillan and Stern assert that by applying the wisdom of God's Word, that's what we're talking about, not only will you find spiritual life, you'll discover the key to health and happiness as well. For if you live wisely, long life is indeed in her right hand, literally. And in her left hand, he says, are riches and honor. Next blessings. Riches. Maybe that's why we live in one of the wealthiest nations of the world. We're especially given that we're founded on the biblical principles. like the Protestant work ethic, which comes from the book of Proverbs, and the golden rule, and the Judeo-Christian worldview, and the Judeo-Christian tradition of wisdom. At least we used to be rooted and grounded in that. And the history of our nation proves that in her left hand are riches. Though you wonder for how long. Because we've fallen away from God's principles. We've got a huge debt bubble that's in the trillions now. That's not wisdom. It could all implode. How long that'll last, given how we squandered our Judeo-Christian tradition. But truly, you follow Him, and oftentimes riches are in His left hand. Literally. And it says honor. In her left hand are riches and honor. There can be dishonor. This is truth and tension again. There can be dishonor if you're a believer. There can even be hatred for us, as we saw last time. But there's honor too. You see both, for instance, in the life of John the Baptist. We usually focus on how he was dishonored. He was beheaded, in fact. That's really dishonored. But it also says that Herod, the king, feared John, remember that, knowing he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. The king honored him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. Herod honored him, though others hated him, and it says he was exceedingly sorry when they asked for his head. Because in her left hand, indeed, is often honor. Billy Graham kept sound wisdom for decades. Very wise man in the way he handled his finances and the temptations of being an evangelist and so many other things. Like John, he was a righteous and a holy man. And so Billy Graham has been honored too, and for good reason. Witness the title of his biography that was published a few years back, Prophet with Honor. Not always that way, but often it can be. Witness what happened on May 2nd, 1996, when he received the highest civilian honor we have to offer, the Congressional Gold Medal. And so with Mother Teresa and many others, including some of you, I've heard some of the stories of people at FCCW. You found favor at work because of who you are. People come to you for advice. Who do they go to when they need help? Some of you. Because you've conducted yourself with wisdom and discretion and with love and like Daniel did, who was honored by a number of kings. And so, because riches and honor indeed are in her left hand. And her ways, verse 17, are pleasant ways. Next blessing. The word for pleasant in the Hebrew means pleasurable, but it also means agreeable. It's the opposite of food that disagrees with you. Wisdom is, because we were created to run on it, right? He means the doing of wisdom will be agreeable with you. Unlike folly, which is maybe pleasurable for you, but totally disagreeable to you in the end. The way of folly may be easier for you, but it will be so much harder on you. He's saying that living wisely will nourish your body, soul, and spirit in a powerful way, pleasurable and agreeable. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. The word for peace here, of course, is shalom, which means complete well-being in body, soul, and spirit. You might say shalom is the afterglow of the wise deed. It's the healthy glow of a life that is ordered by sound wisdom. This is a parable for us. And she's a tree of life, verse 18, to those who take hold of her. The blessing of this abundant life that comes to those who do more than just think about her. That's what he's saying. It comes to those who take hold of her. Blessing of the doing. And then he reinforces it in the next line. And happy are those who hold her fast. The word of hope for us today is this. If you're in a season of darkness, blessed are you if you hold her fast. Who aren't quick to give up or to who stick to her path no matter how often they may stumble, how far they may have to go, how dark it may get. it will be worth it. Mark my words, one day you will count yourself blessed because His way is best. Which brings us to the two verses that anchor the passage, verses 19 and 20. By the Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. He's saying, why should you do this? Why is it such a blessing? Just look at the earth. The Lord, by the same wisdom that you can live your life by, founded the earth. And by understanding, He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the deeps were broken up, and the skies drip dew. And again, this is in the exact middle of our section for today. It's a wonderfully symmetrical passage, and it pivots right here. You've got six verses that we've just been through on one side of wisdom, on one side on the promise of wisdom's blessing, and then exactly six verses on the other side on the promise of wisdom's blessing, separated by these two verses that give the precedent for it. The reason why we can be so sure that His way is best and most blessed is because wisdom, by wisdom He founded the earth. And so the reason is all around us wherever we look. From a beautiful sunset, the beauty of the earth, the glory of the skies, the love which from our birth over and around us lies. It's just a healthy glow all around us. That's wisdom. And our lives can be the same way as we do it. If it's agreeable living that you're after, the way of life doesn't disagree with the way you were created. If it's pleasurable living that you're after, the way of life, a way of life that's as pleasing as the creation, then look no further, because the way of wisdom is the way of creation. And so, as we've already seen, to go against wisdom, to go against Christ, is to go against the very grain of the universe. That's the idea here. And to follow His way is to walk in the way that led to this. So it will be worth it all. And then, having anchored His argument in the creation, in the precedent that proves His way is best, He launches into it again, into the promise of blessing. Starting in verse 21. My son, let them not depart from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Again, he's focusing on the doing. Do it. Don't be a couch potato Christian. So they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. He's saying it will beautify your body, kind of with the same glow that the good earth has. Goodness, someone said, doesn't flash, it only glows. And you can tell it when people have it, especially these days. Some people look so wasted, don't they? But others look healthy and wise. And you can tell the difference. There's just something that's becoming about those who walk wisely, especially as they grow older. Their wisdom really does, as he said here, adorn them. They age with grace, like many of you are, with a graceful spirit. Their wisdom adorns them. They have a lasting beauty that's more than skin deep. You might not see it right away, but as you get to know them, there's such beauty there. Like one woman said, when at 16 I was vain because someone praised me, my father said, they are only praising your youth. You can take no credit for beauty at 16. But if you are beautiful at 60, then you may be proud of it and loved for it. Wise man. There are many in this church who are beautiful at 60 and beyond. It's one of the things we so love about this congregation. It's a wonderful thing. Because they've lived the truly good life. Or maybe for years they didn't, but they found their way. God brought them back. And just like Solomon says, it's life to their soul and adornment to their neck. It's a beautiful thing. And then finally, verse 23. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. And the reason why we don't have to be afraid is because we know something. We know that through fire and through water, He's making this out of our lives. He's making everything beautiful in its time. He's the creator of the universe who's creating us, and He's weaving it all together, the good, the bad, the ugly, the horrible, the evil, the good. It becomes better. He's weaving it all together into something beautiful. So we don't have to be afraid. In Christ alone, my hope is found, because He commands my destiny. Down to the finest details, He's orchestrating it to glory. And then Solomon wraps it up in verse 26. The Lord will be your confidence. That's a lot. The Lord, put it in context, the Lord, verse 19 and 20, the maker of heaven and earth, will be your confidence. Thank you, Lord.